So I've been thinking a lot about hope lately. You know, it's the Christmas season, and, you know, Jesus, the light of the world, he's the hope of glory. He is our hope. He is the one thing we can trust in, and we know he's never going to let us down. And Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Rejoice in our confident hope. And I think this morning, as we approach God in worship, and it's a funny thing. We tell him who he is, and he sits there and he loves it. But you know, something changes in us as we worship him and as we see him. And in the Psalms, there's a scripture that says, you know, as we see him, we become like him. And that's not the exact verbatim, but that's the implication, is that as we see him, and it's not that we become like him, we don't become God. That's never going to happen. But we start seeing things from his perspective. And this thing about hope was planted in me, and I shared it with Lotta, and it's that any situation that we've lost hope for, we've lost heaven's perspective on. And I keep thinking about all these areas in my life that I don't have hope for. And I don't, it's not an outright, I'm hopeless there. It's my attitude towards it is that of hopelessness. It's not an attitude of expectation. And in Romans there, he says, in your confident hope, we can rejoice in it. So, that being said, those situations that are lost in our hearts, it may be a loved one. You may have lost hope for someone. I shared last week about my sister, who for all intents and purposes, I'd lost hope for her salvation. But we have a confident hope. And as we worship God this morning, I just encourage you guys to look past your situations and look forward with hope. And expecting God to move. Because as we see him, we become like him. We gain his perspective on things. So this morning as we worship, look to God. Look to the one who made us. Look to the one who is the hope of glory. And I just say to our situations, those ones that used to seem hopeless, they're going to become hopeful. Because as heaven invades earth, this amazing thing happens and hopelessness is gone. Because all that was getting in the way of our hopefulness for a situation is removed. So if you guys would stand up this morning, that would be awesome. Because God deserves everything, right? So standing up, if you stand up during worship, some people are like, stand up, sit down, I don't get it. Well, when we stand up before the Lord, it's an offering. And when we lift our hands to the Lord, it's an offering. When we lift our voice to the Lord, it's an offering. And this morning, God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're in this house. We thank you that your presence is always with us. And we thank you that as we worship you, God, you can't stay away. As we worship you, as praise is lifted up to heaven, heaven comes down and it meets earth here. And we just thank you, God, for the exchange that's about to take place. The exchange of our weight for your weightlessness, for the yoke of the world, for the yoke of heaven. And we just say, God, come and have your way in this house this morning. And we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are full of hope, God. We thank you that as we see through your eyes, every situation in our life begins to lighten up. Lord, you are the light of the world, but also you are the one who lifts our load. And we just thank you this morning that we have you in our lives, plain and simple. There's just one prayer. There's one voice going up this morning, and that's the thankfulness to you, Father, for creating us, to you, Jesus, for setting us free, for being the Savior, and to you, Holy Spirit, for living in us and for choosing us. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So while you guys are standing, you should meet someone around you, and you should give them a big hug. We need to love each other with the love of Christ, right?
Truth and love. Thank you. to us, there you make it home. Great things from humble beginnings, We choose to serve you, Lord, for who you are. We will adore you. We will adore. With all I am, with
if everybody could stand up for me. And I want you guys to keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask the instruments to keep playing. I'm going to ask you to do an exercise with me or step out with me for a minute. I just want us all to start just giving a clap offering to Jesus right now. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. You are so worthy, Jesus. We thank you for what you did on the cross, Father God. We thank you for coming and dying for us, Father God. We love you, Jesus. God, I am so grateful for you, Jesus. I am so thankful for what you've done in my life, Father God. God, you are worthy. You are holy, Father God. We thank you for your spirit, Father God. Heaven, we pray that you will invade this place right now, Father God. We just want to change, Father God. We want to live different, Father God. We want to walk different, Father God. We want to breathe different, Jesus. As we bring this the instrumental back up, I encourage you to step out in faith and worship like you never have before. Lift up a song to Jesus. Do something a little different than you did before, because he died on the cross for you. He changed you for a purpose. There's more to life than just the daily grind, because you were put here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. Father God, I thank you, Jesus. God, we worship you, Jesus. We love you so much, Father God. I am so grateful for what you're doing in my life right now, Father God.
Abandoned in all.
to you surrendered all I am is yours. Yes, all I am is yours. And I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. Yes, all I am is yours.
So this morning is family communion. I saw a few folks already jumping on board, which is good, I guess. So we're going to just take it during this next song. So I'm just going to thank the Lord for his broken body, his shed blood. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that in your sacrifice, Lord, is wholeness and restoration. Lord, a common union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a common union with the God that created everything. We thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you did not say no. You said yes. You embraced the will of the Father. Because of that, we're restored as sons and daughters. And so, Lord, we just ask today that as we take part of your body and your blood, Lord, that your life would flow through us. Lord, that it would become even a greater reality in us, Lord, of who we are as sons and daughters, who we are as children of God, who we are as light in this world, Lord. I pray that you would just allow us, Lord, to receive everything that your blood sacrifice, that your shedding your blood and breaking your broken body on the cross has accomplished for us, that we would not leave here, Lord, the same, that we would change, God, because of your presence. We just bless, Lord, every single individual, God, here today, Lord, and they would receive all that you have for them in the communion table. In Jesus' name. You can go ahead and start taking any time.
So there is power in the name Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Give a testimony. Yesterday, we were at the hospital. Maybe some of you saw on the prayer chain that Gay's dad is in the hospital, been there for the last few days, and thought he was there on something fairly simple, but it turned out to be something pretty complicated. He had a growth on the back of his brain, and so the doctors at the hospital wanted to send him over to Seattle, and they just, you know, had so much information they were giving us and say, well, we're just going to ship him over. And, you know, Dad was very willing to go along with that. But, you know, it was going to create some upheaval. And because we didn't really know what was going on, it was kind of a loss for all of us. So my brother-in-law, Rich, said, you know what, let's just get together and just pray, because we had another potential neurosurgeon who was going to come in and see my dad if he was there long enough. And you know, it was just kind of one of those shaky deals. You didn't know what was going to happen. So we said, you know, we're going to go ahead and pray and ask for wisdom from God of what he wants us to do. So while we were praying, I mean, we must have been just a minute in, the neurosurgeon walked through the door. And he was able to communicate to my dad exactly, Gay's dad, but I call him dad, our dad, exactly what was going on with him. And we were able to then pray again, and we were able to then realize that he could have that surgery here in town. But even before we opened our mouth, the Lord knew what we were going to pray, and no sooner then did we open our mouth than the answer walked through the door. And you know, there is power in Jesus' name. And even if you don't use the name Jesus, if you're in his name, if you're resting in him, if you're a child of his, you're in his name. And so I believe while we were all sitting there, you know, in our hearts saying, Lord, what are we going to do? We were already praying. We were already crying out. just when we gathered hands is when he started to come through the door. But we were already interceding. We were already praying in his name. Even though for those of us who weren't saying a word out loud, we were crying out to God, and he met our needs. I just wanted to encourage you all that, you know, God, it does still answer prayer. And would it have been wonderful, you know, to see him totally healed? Well, you know, healing's up to God. We're going to believe for full restoration. He's given us modern medicine. He's given us doctors for performing things that, you know, before people just died. And now today he can have a surgery, which is going to happen in just a few hours, that we're believing is going to bring some restoration because of, there was some, sounds like some error that was done previous. So praise God. Amen. Thank you, team. You want to? Or?
Amen. One, I was up shortly after the surgeon had come in, and say what? Okay. I don't know, this is just what my grandpa said. My grandpa was kind of out of it, but the neurosurgeon actually grabbed somebody's hand, is that correct? And started and joined in on the prayer. So, you know, that in itself speaks volumes to how the Lord works in, I mean, just a matter of seconds, and he provided the answer. The answer was already on the way before the prayer had even started. And that's what I love about our God, right? Amen. I got a chance to, I was in Denver this week. It was 65 degrees and sunshine, and I was glad to come home to freezing, cold, wet rain. Although it would have been nice if the sun came, but it came today, so that's a good thing, right? That's right. Want to say something, Ada? No? Okay, just checking. So the kids are going to stay up today. If you got a little one, they're going to enjoy the word. Sorry, as our little ones run around. Hey. Her best buddy, Hank. Come on. So we're going to have a time of in the word. And what's the sign-up sheet for? So as you know, Pastor Josh's mom passed away. Her service is going to be on Wednesday at 11 here at the church. So we're going to be passing around a sign-up sheet for some food for the family. You can drop this off prior to the service while the service is going on. But I'm assuming that the meal will take place probably around 12 to 12:30. So if you can get the food here before noon, that would be preferable. But we just want to bless Pastor Josh and bless his family in this time of hurting, this time of grieving. But we know that even though death has come, life is happening, right? Because even the Lord conquered death when he went to the cross for us, and we can rejoice that there is life after that death, right? So I'm going to pass this around. If you feel like you want to sign up for something, there's a lot of different options that you can sign up on there and bring something and drop something by. So, okay, my mother needs to say something.
Tonight is Our Lady's Christmas party at 6 o'clock, so bring a snack to share and bring a snack to give. We are going to be blessing the school down the road tomorrow morning and just give them just love and tell them thank you for loving on our kids. And so if there's obviously a lot of people out today, so if you think of anybody, just give them a call and remind them, and that starts at 6 o'clock tonight.
David, you should be able to just put, click on, I think Jesse can show you, the viewer. Oh, you got it. Good. Excellent. Let's see, am I controlling? Oh, no, you're controlling. No, not that. He started the actual slide. I need the PowerPoint. it's not working. There it is. You don't have to worry about controlling it this time. Sorry for you, those on internet land. We're having a little technical difficulty here. Technology isn't always what it's cracked up to be, is it? Anybody ever have technology issues? Anybody lost all their information on something before because you had it all in a safe place? Not fun. I can't tell you how many customers I've helped who have lost hard drives and they never did a backup. So my encouragement to you is do backups. Do backups. Sometimes we can still recover the data, but it's very, very expensive. So that's a little side note. That was a little technical bonus this morning. So I want to talk today about seizing eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. Two weeks ago, I was actually in... Is it working? There it is. I was in 1 Timothy 6:12, the very first part of the verse, fight the good fight for the true faith. And I talked about, you guys didn't talk about too much, but you smiled, so you must have been agreeing. We talked about different aspects of fighting. How, to me, fighting the good fight of faith used to be my own strength. It used to be, you know, being able to accomplish things in what I had experience for or what I had knowledge for. And we learned and understood that it's only through what Christ enables us to do, what God enables us to do, what he empowers us to do, can we actually succeed. And we learned that, you know, it's not just about boxing gloves. Learned that it's not just about the full armor of God or spiritual warfare, you know, piercing through the darkness, but it's also about rest. How many thought of rest as fighting the good fight of faith? It is. Because when we enter into his rest, when we acknowledge our weakness, what does he do? He perfects strength. When we are reduced, guess what? He elevates. When we lower ourselves, he raises us up. And so that's the perfect example when we say, I can't do this battle myself, Lord. You take it for me. He will. And then we talked even about joy. Had that funny little emoji there of laughing so hard. How many realize that joy is a way to fight as well? So you can get the CD. Actually, it's online. It's not a CD, but you can get it online. There we go. So today we're going to talk about hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you. Now, again, this is a scripture I've read before. I've thought of it before. And you know what I want to do here for a second? I'm going to go back here. I like it. I can do that. I think I can do that. Hello. There we go. Notice the eagle for seizing. I want you to get that picture in your head, because that's the kind of seizing, the kind of grasping, the kind of laying hold that God's talking about here. It's a very intense action. I know before I used to think, well, lay hold of eternal life. Let's see if I can get back. It does not like that USB. What is going on? Okay, David, you might have to take over. Technology, gotta love it. There you go. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah, you're really going.
Where do you want to go?
Two more. That's the problem when I went backwards. It didn't like that. Okay. Hold tightly to eternal life. There's the eagle in the bottom. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you. What I thought of as eternal, holding tightly onto eternal life, was making it through life so that I could someday reach heaven. That's when I read that, that's kind of what I thought. That was my whole mindset, is that, then we're talking years ago, not yesterday, of course, but years ago, that's what I thought. I thought that to hold tightly to eternal life meant like just hold on long enough so that you can make it through the pearly gates, so that you can come before your Father in heaven and then be judged based upon what Jesus did for you, which is truth, but it's very, very lacking in what that means. Because that is a very current statement. It's not for just in the by and by. It's not for just when we get to heaven or when we, you know, come into the day of the Lord, however you want to look at that. It's not for just in the future. Laying hold of eternal life is an active deal that we do now. He was saying, Timothy, start seizing eternal life now, just as God has called you to this. Let's read another translation here. This is the Message version. I like this. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to. Now, eternal life is a different picture for all of us because, I mean, we know that the John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. It's the same word. It can be cross-exchanged. And so, you know, we look at that and we say, oh, you know, you love me, Lord, and I'm going to receive eternal life someday. But I'm here to tell you, eternal life can be lived out somewhat now, too. It's not going to be its full extent. I mean, we're obviously, you know, going to be upgraded when we're face-to-face in eternal glory, where this mortality's been cast off, and we've taken on immortality. There's obviously a higher grade. But it does not mean that while we're here in this state that we have to live in a diminished way. That when he gave us his life, he didn't just give us his life when we get there, he gave us his life now. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, we were singing today, Spirit, come and fill this place. And that I mean, obviously we want his presence to come. We want his glory to come. But his Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so for asking him to come and fill this place, all we're really saying is, Spirit, come alive in me. What's already happened, manifest. I mean, you realize how much of heaven we brought here today? Now, you may not feel it. You may not even have seen it, which we should not be looking at the things that are seen. We need to look at the things that are unseen. But you guys brought heaven here with you today. Each of you had a portion of God that you brought. Yeah, we all have God in us, but we all carry a deposit as well. And so when we gather together, Holy Spirit is here. So for him to fill this place is for us to realize that he's here. We could sing that, Spirit, come and open our eyes. Let us know that your glory's in this place, because that's really what it is. Because we want something to happen that's already happened. We want something to take place that's already done. It's like this, everlasting life is ours. Eternal life is ours. But how much of it are we going to lay hold of? How much are we going to seize? And how do we even seize it, right? I mean, I hear, Pastor Mike, that's all good and well, but how do you seize eternal life? You believe it. I think the easiest way to seize eternal life is to realize that you have it. If we live as someone who does not possess something, you know, take case in point, you could be a millionaire's son, but let's say that, you know, you were lost. And, you know, maybe it was something that happened where, you know, you ran away from home, kind of like the prodigal. And he didn't realize that all he had to do was go back to the father, and he still had all his inheritance. You know, unfortunately, a lot of us live like prodigals. Even the son who was living on the father's land, he said, wow, why didn't you ever throw me a party? He said, son, you could have had a party. The party was yours. All you had to do was have one, invite your friends. You didn't have to run away to be able to have a party. And so both of them had a poverty mentality. I think, unfortunately, as people of faith, we have a terrible poverty mentality. We like to think, or we think that we do not deserve God's goodness. Now, maybe you don't, but we live that way. I mean, if I was to sit in front of anybody and, you know, have a consultation with them and say, do you feel like you don't deserve God's goodness? And most people are going to say, especially Christians who have been saved a long time, no, I mean, I know that God loves me and gives it to me, but what happens is that his goodness is something that we don't appropriate. We don't lay hold of it. I mean, eternal life is what? It's not just, you know, living forever. Eternal life is the eternal power of God. We're going to see a verse later on that it describes Jesus is eternal life. So laying hold of Jesus is laying hold of eternal life. Grabbing hold of it, it doesn't mean that you physically have to do it. Like, I don't have to physically grab Zeke to grab hold of him, either I do. But eternal life is something that is you know, not something we do in the physical. You can't seize it in the physical. You have to do it in your heart. You seize eternal life in your heart. You receive the truth and the reality that you are fully blessed by God with all of his attributes. Let's go to the next verse. Maybe it'll help me here. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned. I love that word summoned. Because what's summoned? Have you guys ever been summoned to court? I mean, it's like an official type deal. This is official, Timothy. Not just my Timothy, but Timothy's. We're to lay hold of eternal life. We have been summoned to this. We've been called to this. We've received something, not in the mail, but in our hearts, saying, you are called to something higher than who you are now. And God would say that you are complete in me already. Go ahead, David. This is a different translation. This is the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. For those of you who like to do Bible studies, you can find it at studybible.info. Something like that. If you can't find it, get hold of me and I'll let you know. But this is an amazing translation. He does a very, very good job of amplifying what the Amplified doesn't amplify. And it really gives you a good handle on what the Greek is trying to say, or what the writer was trying to say, maybe using the Greek tenses. Because how many know that the English language is a poverty language? We have one word for love. Well, they have six. So when you read the word love in the Bible, you may be reading, you know, phileo, you may be reading, you know, eros, you may be reading agape. And knowing what word is there gives you a different context of what's being said. Because to us, a friendship love is not the same thing as a covenant love between a husband and wife, is it? It's good to have a friendship love as a husband and wife, but a covenant relationship is a choice to serve the other one through thick and thin. You give your life to them. Okay, another little side one there. Take hold of or get a firm grip upon. Just picture that eagle going into the water and grabbing a big salmon. I saw one picture of an eagle carrying a deer. Is that true? Does somebody know? Can an eagle carry a deer?
A small deer.
It was like a fawn. But yeah, it's like I looked at it and said, this has got to be just somebody photoshopped, but I didn't get a chance to look at it. But anyway, yeah, it was a salmon carrying, seizing that. And let it be the Anonian life, which is the life that has the quality and characteristics of the age. Now, what that means is it's a quality of life that is also here now. See, we read eternal life and we just think, does anybody else do that? Does anybody read eternal life? You're thinking in the future, not now. This is talking about in the age now and pertains to the eons or the ages to come. So it's the life that we can have now in God that goes on. What does it mean from glory to glory? I mean, if I'm glorified now, which to a certain degree I am, right? And as I receive Christ and receive the truth in my heart, am I not glorified to another level? So am I not then starting to walk in another level of eternal life? Yes. So If you don't want to seize eternal life, all you need to do is nothing. Because you will not seize eternal life by doing nothing. It has to be something that is purposed out. It has to be something that you literally appropriate. Yeah. Okay, so this is the word seize, and I just wanted to show you guys. It's the Strong's 1949. It's epilambinamai. I'm butchering it, I know. But anyway, it's the word epi and then lambano, which means to aggressively take. Now, it's interesting that it's using epi, which means to make it even more intensified. So lambano means to aggressively take. So this would be saying to aggressively take. So it's emphasizing even the word aggressive. So it means to show personal initiative, to focus with focused resolve. So if we think about that, lay hold of eternal life with focused and personal initiative, with a resolve. How many of us are laying hold of eternal life like that? I'm not. Not all the time. And that's probably why I'm in the condition that I'm in. Right? So now it's your turn to say, Pastor, please start laying hold of eternal life. We want a new condition for you. What was that one song I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in? That song never made sense to me, but it does now, I guess. Yeah, what condition my condition was in. But this seizing is something that is a personal initiative. It's not something that God just imparts to us. Do we receive eternal life from God when we go to heaven? Yes, we do. Do we receive it from him when Jesus Christ died on the cross? Yes, we do. But do we receive it, or do we seize it without receiving it? No. It has to be something that we truly do receive. Is anyone else getting this? Ruth is. She's shaking her head, yes. Go ahead, David. So let's take a look at a couple other verses that talk about laying hold. Or maybe one verse, I don't know. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This is interesting. Paul said, you know, I haven't fully attained this. You know, and Paul's the one who teaches, you know, that to Timothy to lay hold of eternal life. And he's saying, Timothy, I haven't fully attained this yet. I haven't come to the completion yet of what I'm talking about. But I do know that I have been laid hold of. So in other words, what he's saying, listen, Christ has laid hold of me. Christ has done the work already. Would you guys agree? Has he laid hold of us? How many of you said, like, I found Jesus? Right? Anybody? I found Jesus, you know. You know, I got saved. I mean, that's true. But do you realize that you were ransomed, you were purchased back, you were sought out, you were hunted down? I mean, you had very little to do with it. God created you in such a way that you responded in a yes. Do you realize that? If he had created you different, you might have said no to all of his goodness. So I'm here to tell you, you have no credit. You don't say, I was part of this. No, you were laid hold of. Christ seized you. I don't want to grab Zeke because I get scared. But he seized you. I wanted to do that. People, he's terrifying today. But he seized you. He grabbed hold of you. And so now Paul's saying, I'm going to lay hold of what was already grabbed hold of me. So Paul could be saying here, Timothy, or folks, I'm laying hold of eternal life for which that Christ Jesus had already laid hold of me. You could say this, folks, I'm going to grab hold of health and life for which Christ has already grabbed hold of me. Because is there not life in Christ? Is there not health in Christ? Isn't there not? I'm going to lay hold of the transformation that Christ has already laid hold of me. So let's go on. And then he goes on to say how he does that. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's a key right there. Because the more we look back, the less we're able to see what he's got for us ahead. The more we look back, the less we can even see what he's doing now. So, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward, not just in hope, but reaching forward to lay hold of, Paul could say there. I know I'm filling in some blanks for him, but we know what he said in other places. He's reaching forward to that upward call, the goal, to reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the upward call? The upward call is to be like Christ. That's our upward call. Upward call is to be conformed to his image. Our upward call is not to be, you know, some fancy ministry gift. Our upward call, the main call, is that we would be in the image of Jesus. That we'd be fully conformed 100% to his image. And guess what? When we're seeking after that, we're laying hold of eternal life. Okay. So here's Jesus, and he's praying about eternal life to his Father. John 17, if you've never read it, I highly encourage you. You've heard of the disciples, you know, when they go to ask Jesus to have, how do we pray? And our Father, which is heaven, that's termed the Lord's Prayer. I'm telling you, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, because you have one of the most amazing declarations of prayer that God, Jesus, makes before the Father. And you learn such truth and revelation through reading it. So if you ever get a chance, read John 17. So, but he says here, just a couple verses down, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should, this is referring to Jesus, he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So Jesus is saying, Father, you have authority. You've given me authority over all flesh. Now you have given me the ability to give eternal life to those you have given me. And then he says this, and this is eternal life. So I like this. This is a clue to us of what eternal life is. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what would Paul be saying to Timothy? Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of knowing God fully. How many would think that we would not receive all that God has for us if we weren't, let me rephrase it. How many would think that if we were not learning everything we know about God, would we receive eternal life? Would we lay hold of eternal life? So on the flip side, if we're getting to know God, what are we receiving? The eternal life, the life that he has for us. See, another place, and I thought I had it here, but I don't. I think it's in John, but I think the Apostle John, in one of the first John, I think it is, says, this is eternal life, Jesus Christ. See, eternal life isn't necessarily a thing. It's a person. So lay hold of Jesus Christ, he could be saying to Timothy. Lay hold of that eternal life that is already inside of you. So this is another one of those mysteries, those puzzles that I'm telling you to receive and get something that you already have. I'm encouraging you to realize that the Spirit of the living God is inside of you. But as the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you, so does all of God live inside of you. You're not missing anything. You're not lacking anything in your life. You are not. You're not lacking one thing except knowing who lives in you. The more that we realize Christ, our Redeemer, fully has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Does anybody know what everything is? It's everything. And he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So would you say that we're lacking anything? So are we lacking eternal life? It's quiet in here today. No, we're not lacking eternal life. Are we lacking health? No, we're not lacking health. Are we lacking wisdom? No, we're not lacking wisdom. Only thing we're lacking is acknowledging and receiving what's already in us. Go ahead, David. Seize eternal life. Seizing eternal life. And if you have to think this week of the eagle, those talons reaching, grabbing, appropriating that salmon in the water, or like I said in that one picture, a deer. Picture that that's the kind of attitude that you need to have towards realizing who God is in you. What he's done for you. That it's got to take a passion. It's got to take a desire that goes beyond what we can even conjure up in the natural. See, I don't believe that we can even, in our own strength, lay hold of eternal life. The only way that we can truly lay a hold of eternal life is to receive it in Christ's strength, is to rest in him, and to realize that a work's already done, to put down our own weapons, our own tools, our own utilities, and say, God, you finish the work that you've already started. Because it is a completed work. All we have to do is let him finish it in us. To the place where we will be like him. I think Glenn likes to say, you know, we're not just to represent Jesus on the earth, but to others, we're to be Jesus on the earth. And you can't do that in the old man. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that the old way. The new way has to be that we realize that what has happened inside of us is so powerful and so eternal that we can't remain the same. We can't. Because the power of God is so powerful in us that we are being changed from glory to glory every day. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening our mortal bodies. We're being transformed, even though we don't know it. How many of you like have been seeing God stirring in your heart, drawing you more and more each day, causing you to contemplate him? Holy Spirit's doing a work. Now just yield to it. Say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know how you're doing it, but you know what? I know you've got a plan, so I surrender to that plan of yours in my life. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us, God, to seize this eternal life. Lord, we don't want to remain the same. We don't want to remain, Lord, in a deficit state as your people. We want to be elevated, Lord, to the place that you have called us to. We want to be raised up, Lord, and seated in those heavenly places, God. Not just, Lord, as a metaphor, but God, but truly, we want to be able to operate as those heavenly seated individuals, God. We want to be able to, Lord, to hold the things of God in our heart in such a way that our bodies and our minds, our soul, every part of our beings is transformed. Lord, I pray that your word would come and illuminate our hearts.
Lord, that people would not just take what I've communicated today, Lord, but they would literally go and search out the scriptures for themselves. They'd go and pray. They'd go and seek your face, and they would hear from heaven who they are. They'd hear from you, Father, who you've created them to be, and that you would help them, Lord, to seize that, Lord, to take hold of that, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that they have focus and resolve. I pray, Lord, that anyone who's been struggling, Lord, with their identity of who they are, Lord, that you would set it straight, that you would let them know that they're your child. You'd let them know, Lord, that they're full of the destiny of God. We just release your purposes over our life right now, Lord. We come into alignment, Lord, with what you have already accomplished on the cross. We come into alignment with the completed work of Christ. Lord, we do confess that it is not us who lives anymore, but Christ who lives in us, our Lord and our Savior. That we are a new creation. We are not the same people that we were before we knew you. We have been transformed. Let that come to full light, Lord. In the coming days, weeks, and months, Lord, let us see that full conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to pray right now, Lord, for Dad as he goes in for surgery today, Lord, that you would just guide the hand of the doctors, that you would allow them to have abilities and skills beyond their own experience and years, and that you'd bring him to full restoration. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you all.
Forget we got visitors.
Offering is just up here or in the back, and it's not. We don't actually take an offering. We receive an offering, so... Sorry. Sorry, family. Yep. You're like, Yeah. Thanks for asking, though.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a